Thanks for checking out the Reveal Vineyard podcast. Our mission is simple. Find God, find others, find yourself. That's it. We hope through these conversations, your spirit will be stirred. For more information on Reveal, you can visit our website at www.revealvineyard.com.
Kind of a different approach, you know. I mean, it's Father's Day, and I'm up here, and you're supposed to give a Father's Day message. And let me just say this right off the bat, that you could have chosen any other place to be today. You could have. There's thousands of things to do today, and you chose to be here at church. And that's awesome. So hats off to you for doing that. Second thing is this, is that if you think about it, Mother's Day, mothers, what do they want more than anything else when it comes to family? They want their family to come to church with them. Fathers are very different. Fathers are like, let's go fish. I'm going to be in my man cave or my man chair. So for you being here, it's a plus. It's an additive thing. And it's this message was weighing very heavy on my heart. Because if you know a little bit about me, this is kind of a passion for me. And when Marty asked me to speak probably two or three months ago, I just felt this heaviness because I knew that there was a lot that needed to be said. And I didn't want to do it out of anger. I didn't want to do it out of passion per se, but I wanted to do it with grace and dignity and love and all of that. And so let's kind of go a different direction today and not really talk about Father's Day per se, because I've seen a lot of Father's Day messages, and some of them have been really, really good, and I think some of them have been really, really poor. So today we're going to be talking about men and man's day in a sense, and that's where we're headed. And so women, don't check out on me this morning, because there's some things I really want to speak into your life as well. Men, there's a lot of things that I want to speak into your life as well also. So women, this isn't a time to kind of check out and think about what you're going to do this afternoon. What my hope is today, I seriously mean this with all of my heart, what my hope is today, that this will be a turning point in your life as a man. This may be a turning point in the life of your marriage. This may be a turning point in the life of any relationship that you may have. That's my hope today. And so this started really when Marty asked me to speak, and about a week later, as I was trying to kind of turn in my mind what my message title was going to be and what it was going to be about, and I said, just use what you were horrible at as a husband and a father and a man. Just use that, and so I'm going to use that. And so I stand up here by the grace of Jesus, I stand up here, and I'm going to allow you to kind of be introduced to my life a little bit. But more than that, I wanted to go in a direction that we can really connect with each other as a community of men. And so 3 or 4 days after Marty asked me to speak, I'm at work. And there was a gal, she was probably early 20s. And I don't often say, when are you expecting? Because of normal reasons, right? I did that one time and they said I wasn't pregnant. So that was about 20 years ago. And I said, I'll never do that again. But this one was obvious. And I said, oh, I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome that she's taking leave and she's going to go have her baby. And this is what I said to her. And this is what she said back verbatim. I was asking her, she was taking family leave. And I said, wow, really cool. You're having a baby. And she says, yeah. And I'm like, wow, is this like your first one, you and your husband? And she said, husband? She said, I don't have no man. And you don't need a man to kind of do what you're making in life. And I go, well, first of all, I think human sexuality 101 says you do need a man to have a baby. So I made that perfectly clear. But she was sold on the fact that she doesn't need a man in her life to do life. I struggled with that. I struggled with that. And then about a week later, as I was kind of preparing for this message, I came across this passage that says this. And so today, I want to kind of start with some good news and some bad news, right? And when a doctor comes in and says, hey, I got some news for you. I got some good news and bad news. What do you want me to start you with? Okay. Most of you would say what? Bad news. Okay. So good thing you said that, because I wasn't going to start with good news anyway. So I'm going to start with bad news, all right? But this is the scripture that I read. It's found in Ezekiel 22:30, and it says this, is that it says, I sought for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before him in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. And this is crazy. God said, but I found no one. Did you hear that? In Jerusalem, in this specific context, there was vile impurities going on in the life of God's people. And God says, I looked around and I I found not one man there to stand up for me. See, God couldn't find just one man, one person to stand up for his people. And I believe this, if God were looking at man like that today, he would say something like this. He would say, I'm looking for a man of integrity, and I'm looking for a man of courage. I'm looking for a man willing to stand up for those who can't defend themselves. I'm looking for a man who will lay his life down for his wife just as Christ laid his life down for the church. And man, that's huge. I'm looking for a man that will impart spiritual truth in the next generation. And God, in this context, said he found none. Today, one third, that means one in every three of American children, is a total of 15 million are being raised without a father. And even as the total number of American households with children increased by 160,000, the number of two-parent households decreased by 1.2 million. And this is crazy right here. For the first time in American history, the majority of children born to women under 30 years old are born out of wedlock. And so, in today's culture, men are becoming extinct. And today, going forward, it's time to start fighting against extinction. So I'm going to pray this morning, and some of this stuff's going to be really heavy. Some of this stuff's going to be really cool. Some of it's going to be light. But again, my hope, you heard my hope from the very beginning, is that God will, the Holy Spirit will move in you and develop the power for you to think differently, to act differently, to engage differently in a whole nother way. Because if you haven't noticed, men are becoming extinct. And that is definitely not the way God designed things. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for today. This is heavy and this is hard, but it's truth, it's your word, it's obedience, God. And as men, we have to be men that obey your truth, your word, Father. And so today, I pray that you will be here, your spirit will be present, and we as a church called Reveal will take off our masks and take off the fake life that we do live outside of here, like everything is just going on okay, and begin to open up our chest and show our hearts to begin to say, these are the things that I need to work on. This is the area that I need to change. God, let the Holy Spirit empower this place. I pray for the offering, and I pray for Reveal and all of the leadership, and I pray for Pastor Marty and his family, for his leadership as he kind of steers the ship as we go forward, God, for we ask in your name. Amen. Patrick Morley, if you've never heard of him, he's a great author. I've read many books. He has been serving in the lives of men for about 40 years. And he recently, I read a book, and he recently, I took an excerpt out of that, and it says this. It says, everywhere I turn today, I see men who refuse to grow up. Husbands of 35 who enjoy playing the same video games that obsess 12-year-olds. Boyfriends who will not commit to marriage or family, and fathers who will fight with umpires or coaches at their son's Little League games. We all know men in their 30s or 40s who would rather tinker with their cars than interact with their families. Fathers who want to share in their children's fads, and even bosses and political leaders who act like impulsive teenagers. Many are frustrated and confused about what maturity is and whether they can or want to achieve it. In his book, he says, I call them boy men. I've noticed how men deep in their 20s or even 30s, when their parents and grandparents had themselves been parents or homeowners, have not yet even settled down. Some haven't even left the home. The singles cultures, celebrated in situation comedies like Friends, is a world apart from the experience of young adults in previous generations. He ends with a common query, or really a complaint, he says, today, especially from women, is where have all the men gone, with a question mark. What they seem to imply is that perfectly normal men who in previous generations would have been expected to be grown-ups continue to act and look and think like teenagers. Powerful. And you see, I believe, I still have plenty of hope for men because I believe that they are the image of the glory of God. I believe that. And he wants his glory to shine through men. And he wants his kingdom to be made visible through men. You might hear a couple rants from me today. Here's one of them. I seriously don't care if you buy a truck, play video games, hunt, fish, play sports, or rock out on your guitar. This is what I do have an issue with, and I believe this is what God has an issue with, and this is what I believe why men are so disengaged. The problem is when those are prevalent and predominant and preeminent. That means when they become first in your life. And some would argue and say, hey, Brent, you know what? But it's not a sin. No, it's not a sin, but sometimes it's just dumb. You get fired from your job because you fell asleep at work, because you were up all night trying to get to the next level of some online game to become some society or association president of that specific game. That's dumb, right? You work one part-time job so that you can play more guitar, golf, or video games. That's dumb. You spend all your money on fantasy sports, new cars, new gear for your adult sports programs, or you gamble it away. Dumb. And some of you, again, would come back and say, well, it's not a sin. Well, neither is eating the cereal box instead of the cereal, right? It's just dumb, right? See, there are a lot of things that Christian guys do that aren't evil. They're just dumb. And they're childish. There's nothing wrong with being a boy. There's absolutely nothing wrong with being a boy. If you're a boy. But there is a problem, though, if you're a boy with a beard and a house. That's a problem. And so I think the three biggest issues facing men today are what I call the IRWs in a man's life. And they are immaturity, rebellion, and wounds. And I speak on this because I say this from the very beginning. I'm laying all the cards out on the table for you all to see. Is I was the president, CEO, CCO, CFO of the University of Immaturity all my life. For a big part of my life. When I got married, and by the grace of Jesus, it'll be 25 years in July. Thank you for my wife, Susan, for putting up with me. I was probably 24 going on 9 when I got married. And immaturity really is making dumb decisions and making dumb choices. And I did that for a very long time in my own life. And really, these three things I'm talking about are all connected to the heart. I mean, they really are. It's a connection to the heart. And when your heart is not right, when it's depraved, when it's dark, when nothing can go right, your heart really sets the tone for these specific things. And so the first one is maturity, immaturity. And immaturity is defined as this: emotionally undeveloped, juvenile, or even childish. And this is what it looks like in the life of a man. Why? Because I know. Men with immaturity cannot form real and meaningful relationships. Men with immaturity cannot communicate and nurture relationships with family, friends, or their peers. Men that are immature haven't severed the bonds of the mother complex. Now, what I mean by that, it doesn't mean they stop loving mom, but there's a lot of men today that have a very unhealthy relationship with their mother because there has never been that emotional detachment. Immature men can have a child, but they run from the responsibility of being a father and raising their children. Immature men don't focus on solutions. Immature men move through life lost and confused without meaning or purpose. Immature men only live for their own ego and their own pleasure and often become very narcissistic in their life. Immature men thrive on showing off their power and impressing others, acting superior and dominating others, or just the opposite. They act cowardly and weak and reluctant to stand up for themselves. And I see this last one more than ever, is that immature men have become obsessed with dating younger women. It's immaturity. I probably lived through a handful of those. And there was a time when my wife and I, we said, well, we can't go on, that's enough. Why? Because I was immature. It's immaturity. So men, is that you here? Can you identify with what I'm talking about here this morning? The next one is rebellion. Rebellion is resistant to or defiance of any authority or any control or any tradition. It's really the act of rebelling, right? And there is a major, huge theme across the Bible from Genesis to Revelation about what happens when you rebel. It doesn't turn out very well. Isaiah 30 hits it. They were rebellious people and lying people and people unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord, right? And the cycle of rebellion looks like this, and it's on your screen. First one is conceited. And this is how you come across if you are rebellious. I want what I want because I'm important. And you have this independent living. It becomes an I-oriented. It becomes pleasure-seeking. And you look for temporal values. You don't look for eternal values anymore, right? The next part of that is calculating. I'll do whatever it takes to get that. I'll do whatever it takes to get that car. I'll do whatever it takes to get that girl. I'll do whatever it takes to get that promotion. And then you become deceptive. So you start lying and cheating and stealing to get that. And you become manipulative. You use guilt tactics to get you there. Some people that are part of this rebellious cycle condemn, right? They, you know, you just don't care about me, right? And you become apathetic, and you start complaining, and you're too hard on me, and you blame shift. It's not your fault, it's everybody else's fault. You begin to blame shift. Here's another one. You become calloused. I don't really care who it hurts. I was there. It was an awful place to be. It's apathetic. You become apathetic towards loved ones. You become resistant towards God. You become contentious. I hate those who get in my way, right? Disrespectful. You become irreverent, disobedient, foul-mouthed, and messy. Rule-breaking, extremes in sex, drugs, money, and hostility. And the last one is controlling. You just won't give up with what you have. And so you become possessive of things and you use power plays because of emotional insecurity and you become abusive in your own life. You become verbally, emotionally, physically abusive. That's rebellion. It's rebellion. How many can connect with that? And then really the root of this stuff and quite possibly the reason why you are the way you are is because you've been wounded in your own life. This is the reason why I was the way I am. And the way that I was is because I was wounded in my own life and never knew. And those of you that have been attending the breakfast once a month, we kind of talk about this stuff. We talk about the wounds that the absent or disconnected father. There's so many fathers. We look back and we say, my dad wasn't very good at all. My dad was horrible. And you were wounded by that. But we close everything up in this suitcase and we never unzip it and unpack that to deal with that. And so you live with that and your heart becomes hard. And guess what? You become immature and you become rebellious. Or the overly bonded with mother wound or the all alone wound or the heart wound where your heart has been broken or you just have a corrupted heart. Or maybe it's the wound of just having kind of that lack of vision in your life. Here was mine about 25 years ago. My vision was this. If I sat down with 10 of you, I bet probably one or two out of the 10 would actually can tell me, like, what your vision is for your life. I wrote this down. I didn't know what I was doing, but this is what I wanted out of my life. I wanted to be a great husband. I wanted to be a great father. I definitely wanted to be a great friend because I've seen so many friends not be that way. And I wanted to be a man that chased after the heart of Jesus. That was my vision 25 years ago. Asked my wife. I was horrible at all of them. I had something down on paper. But I couldn't wrap my mind about what does it take to be a great husband and what does it take to be a great father or what does it take to be a great friend and what does it take to chase after the heart of Jesus. But that's what I wanted to be. And that's who I wanted to be. So you just chase it and you get up every day and you keep chasing that vision. And you keep chasing it and you keep chasing it. And I know, men, life is hard. I mean, it is hard. It's one of the hardest things that you ever have to deal with in your life. But you get up and you keep doing it. But until you unpack some of these wounds in your life and begin to go, I need to unpack these things because there's some things in my life that I've never dealt with and you are the way you are because of that. That's the root of immaturity and the root of rebellion. You guys tracking with me? I know this is heavy. I get that. And there's good news around the corner here. Here's just some of the good news. Exodus 15:3 says this, that the Lord is a warrior. Oh, I love that. If you're a man, if you don't love that scripture. It says the Lord is a warrior and the Lord is his name. And so this is what it means. In Genesis, it states that we are made in the image of God. And this means that we were made to be warriors. That's how we were made. We were made to be men of courage and men of war and men fighting to the death. If God created you and he was a warrior, that means we have the image of God. We are warriors. We have courage. In Genesis, In 1 Corinthians and Ephesians, God calls men to be the head of the family. Ladies, hear me with a gracious heart. This doesn't mean better. It doesn't mean better. It just means that God will hold men way more accountable at the end of their lives. Period. See, I think what the world needs today is a life of balance. A real man has four expressions. We talked about this in our breakfast, and not all men go there, so I think it's important for us to hear this as we kind of close out this message. Because I think our society has all sorts of expectations and all sorts of perceptions about what a man should be, right? There's all sorts of expectations for men. And much of it, if you can realize it or not, is that it's very contradictory and very confusing. Confusing because men today are portrayed on TV as lazy, dim-witted, and uncultured, and massively useless when it comes to being great husbands and great fathers. If you can't see that, it's there. Then there are those who wish to obliterate the God-given distinctions between men and women by telling a man that he should get in touch with his feminine side. That goes against everything God created us to be. Men should not have to get in touch with their feminine side. Can they be sensitive? Yes. Can they be compassionate? Yes. But we don't have to get in touch with our feminine side because God did not create us to be that way. And so today I'm going to give you four faces that all men should have a balance of, complementing one another, synchronizing with one another, balancing with one another. And if you're too far right or too far left, you're going to have negative things that are going to happen in your life. And so the idea is to find a sense of balance. And hear me, this isn't a fix-all message. This is an opening to your heart and to go, wow, there's some things that I really want to go forward with. And then you just work your butt off like crazy. And it's not about works, folks. Jesus died for that nonsense, right? So the first face is the king face. The face of a king. Now, this face doesn't come easily, I think, in a man's life. The fact is that this face has to be cultivated over time because in order for a man to put on this face, he has to get it through his parents or mentors or heroes or stories or faith or persevering through personal problems. And it comes through integrating his faith into his life. And all of that creates in the soul of man. Here's the king face, men. Listen to me. Is the love of right. It's the love to do the right thing. That's the king face. It's the love over the right, over circumstances, and over comfort. It's the face a man shows when he's asked to cheat on a business deal. It's the face a man shows when it comes time to keep his promise, although keeping his promise is going to be extremely difficult. It's the face a man shows when he makes good on his debt. And it's the face a man shows when he risks his own life to save another person. Or when he's out in the community on work or fun and he's propositioned by a female companion. It's the face that he puts on. It's that king face. It's the face that he shows when he could take advantage of someone else, but he chooses not to. Or it's the face that he puts on when he stands up to a good friend whose life is spiraling out of control and risks the friendship in order to call that specific friend back to what is noble and back to what is just and back to what is honorable and back to how God has called that friend to live. That's the king face. And it reflects righteous energy. The king face reflects righteous energy. And too far right with the king face, you're going to be a tyrant. You're going to be an authoritarian. You're going to be a control freak. You're going to be way out of control. Too far left, you become an abdicator, which means you relinquish power and you compromise and you become soft. So the idea is to find that sense of balance. This face is characterized by four strong things. One is strong convictions. It's characterized by courageous moral choices. It's characterized by a servant spirit. And it's also characterized by righteous leadership. I touched on this. Men were created first, not to say that we're better, but we're going to be held to higher standards, I believe, according to God's word. I mean, think about this. When you are coming home and your kids are in the car and you're out on a date with your family and you drive up to the driveway and you're just about to go into the house and you see a light flickering in your house because you think someone's in there, right? Who goes in? I hope you're going to say you do, men, right? Because if you throw your 5-year-old kid in there to check to see if everything's okay, me and you got to talk. Man goes in first. Why? Because that's what we were created to do. We're the provider. We're the protector. Ladies, let me press this into you. Give me grace so I throw up an airbag before. Is that stop telling your husbands how to lead the way you want them to lead. And start getting on your knees and praying for God to help your husband be a leader that God wants him to be. And I know you'll say, you don't know my situation. Yeah, I know your situation. I've seen it hundreds and thousands of times. I was in that situation. But if it wasn't for my wife's prayer and on her knees, I wouldn't be standing up here today. You see, and I get the happy wife, happy life. I totally get that. When my wife is running on all cylinders, man, life is good in all kinds of ways. You know what I'm saying? But I also believe this. I am a firm believer that engaged men is a family win. Men, do you believe that? King face. Next one is the warrior face. The warrior face is the most celebrated and honored of all four faces in a man's life because we love to celebrate great warriors, if you think about it. People like George Patton and Teddy Roosevelt and Alexander the Great and the Michael Jordans and the Tim Tebows and the Kurt Warners and the Cal Ripkins. Those are warriors, man, and we love to watch them. We love to honor them. And all of that really stirs our soul because there's something within us that enjoys a good fight, man. There is. It's a spirit of competition. That's the warrior face. It's the man who can take life head on and win. It's the guy that can take another guy's best shot and say, come on and give me more because I'm ready, man. It's the warrior face. It outlasts its competition. And the warrior face reflects conquering energy. And too far right of the warrior face, you're going to be a destroyer. You're going to become abusive and you're going to become very harsh. And too far left, you become some sort of like an ideal of a wimp, or you have no energy, or you just feel surrendered to life. So you find that sense of balance, and you find that conquering energy in your life. And it's characterized by initiative, where you go after it on your own, and protecting, and he's the one who shields and defends. And for providing, he goes out and gets and says, hey, I'm going to take care of you no matter what it takes. That's the warrior face. Also along those same lines as persevering. With all kinds of adversity, it still goes on. And then it's fighting. It's the fights that you'll face. And the warrior face is not a destructive face, but rather a positive energy force. This is what it says in 1 Timothy. It says, but you, men of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you were made good, where you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And you look at those terms, and those are noble terms. Those are terms to live up to in your own life. Those are warrior terms. So we have the king face, we have the warrior face, and what about the lover face? Some of you men think you got that. Kids go to bed. 5 minutes, you're saying thank you to your wife, you turn off the light, and you say hi to her in the morning, right? That's the lover face, right? There's way more to it than that. The lover face is really the most unnatural thing to a man, as the warrior face is natural. Because love is more difficult for us as men. It really is. This is something that you have to be very intentional at. It's the lover that picks up on his wife or significant other's real needs. It's the lover who will be willing to let go of another good business deal or a sports night out or out with the boys in order to spend more time at home with family. It's that lover face. It's the lover who can open up his heart and share the things that he really feels rather than hide those because he feels like he has to have that front because he's a man. I pray
that if you deal with those kind of issues in your life, that you begin to just open up a little with your wife or your significant other. There's so much value in that. Where you can crack open just a small door of your life and share the hurt in your life and the pain. And then you connect that with a lot of sensitivity and feelings. It's not feminized. It's called the world of emotion that we all have, that you get to share with someone special in your own life. And it will bring a bond to your relationship like you've never seen before in your life. See, this romantic energy is reflected by this. It's characterized by tenderness and sacrificial care, emotional openness, and physical affections. Ephesians 5:25, it says, husbands, you should know this scripture. You probably hear it all the time on Father's Day. Love your, what? Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church. And if you look at that in that context, Christ gave his life for the church in every way, shape, and form. So in that context, they're saying, husbands, give your life up for your wife. And that's a whole different meaning maybe for some of you. That's the lover face. If you are too far left, you become stone cold, hard, and disconnected. If you're too far right, you become critical and harsh and too much critiquing, pointing out all the wrong things that they're doing. It's to find a sense of balance, right? The last one is the friend face. And you know, as well as I do, that many men don't have friends. And I'm talking about real friends. A part of the reason why we don't have friends, at least I think in the world that we live into, is the kind of friends that really want to connect with us at a soul level is, quite frankly, we don't have the time for friends. We want a friend, right? We do want that. We want that person to give us that time, to invest in us, and to talk to us, and to support us, but we just don't have the time. And so guess what? We live in these superficial lives where we talk about weather, sports, and your job, and we call that a friendship, and we call that a relationship, because nowhere do you want to be close enough to where you really have to tell the secret things in your life. And let's be honest, if we can, throwing it out there on the table today. Some of you in here have those secret things in your life, and you have absolutely no idea what to do with them. Because you don't have that relationship to talk about it. And I will tell you that it will not work. It will not work. And you will just fumble, stumble, go through life with destructive sexual patterns, sexual sin, sinful patterns, whatever it may be, until we get some of these secret things out in your life. And I tell people at this breakfast all the time, if you can't do life alone. Men naturally isolate, but what we need is disciples. If you think about it, the most life transformation in the Bible when it comes to following Jesus was being his disciple. So if that worked for them, why wouldn't that work for us? If Jesus says, be my disciple, that's going to help transform your heart. Wouldn't you want to be a disciple of Jesus, meaning getting your nose in the Word, hanging out with guys who study God's Word once a week, whatever it may be? Those are the friends that you want to hang with. See, you can't climb a mountain of manhood disconnected from other men. And the universal principle is that if you're going to be that kind of man you're supposed to be, then you have to be connected with other men who can speak truth into your life. Who can call you out and call out the best in you. Who can cheer you when you have successes. Who will admire your efforts and be your friend, because that's what real friends do. And we need more of that. A friend face reflects connecting energy. And it's characterized by loyalty and accountability and challenge and fun. Too far left, you isolate, become a loner, and you pretty much are friendless. Then you have what we call this all alone wound that you can never make it past. Or if you're too far right, you become a user, kind of those Kleenex relationships, right? Take, use, and throw away. and have Morgan come up as we get ready to close. So what makes a man, really? Paul of the New Testament spoke into the men at the church of Corinth, and he says this. He says, be on alert, stand firm in your faith, and act like men, and be strong. Those are man words, man. Be on alert, protect, stand firm in your faith, right? Be a man of God, seek truth, stand on your convictions, act like men, be strong. You know how that verse ends? And do everything about these with love. All of these come with love. The Greek word translated here to act means to conduct yourself in a courageous way. And in this exact context, Paul is urging his readers to have the strength of conviction and to have the courage to stand on that conviction. And I believe this, and if we're going to be truthful, too many men today are feeling weak and depressed and deflated. And we have to change that and get us back to how God created the world, and don't let the world take over in our life. See, a man is to face life with courage. The Lord is a warrior. You're made in that image. He is to believe certain truths and take a stand on them. Men are required to fulfill and carry out certain responsibilities no matter what kind of opposition that they face. And men are to do what Scripture says is right, even though it means paying a price. A friend of mine is working for a company. And they were trying to get him to do something that was way sinful, way wrong. This is what he said. Hey, I follow the life of Jesus, and I ain't going there. Think he kept his job? No, he got fired the next day. The greatest thing to that story is a week later, he had a way better job and worked with way better people. Why? Because he followed the life of Jesus. Ephesians 6:12 looks at it this way. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against powers and against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. You see, men, the devil, if you look at the scripture, the devil loves it when you're distracted and when you're under pressure. And that's because he knows what every great defensive coach knows, that men under pressure make mistakes. If you follow sports at all, perfect example, the Spurs are hounding the Miami Heat defensively. And what do they have more than anything else? They have turnovers. Why? Because pressure causes mistakes. And honestly, let's get real. In this passage, your enemy hates yours and mine's guts. It's harsh, I know. But that's what that's saying. Do you get that? I mean, he despises you. Why? Because he hates everything that matters to God. And hear me on this, is that, and nothing matters to God more than you. Nothing. Nothing. This dude that hates you, his name is Satan, and the Bible calls him the father of lies and the great deceiver, and he wants to destroy you. So here it is. It's time to fight. It's time to fight. And the stakes, men, could not be higher than they are today. And so we got to defend ourselves, and we have to fight back, and we can't just sit there and do nothing anymore. We can't have any regrets any longer, and no more shame any longer, and no bad marriages any longer, and no remorse, no lust, no secrets. And if you failed as a man, and I have, so here I am, if you have failed as a man or as a father, it does not define you who you are, because failure is an event, not a person. I believe if you are not dead, you are not done in life. And God has not finished with you. And honestly, I do not think that you are finished with yourself. And as one of your brothers in Jesus Christ. I know many of you who are in dark places in your life right now. And I'm not going to affirm you in your life in those dark places. I'm not going to affirm you. I've seen too many churches affirm men where they are in their life. I am calling you and affirming you in the direction where God wants to put you and how He has created you as a man. That's where I want to affirm you. And this isn't about behavior modification. It's about heart transformation. When your motivations become so different than they are now, where your motivations to follow Jesus is because His Father sent Him to die for you and me. That should be our primary motivation. Did you know that Christianity is the only faith that you don't have to do anything to get where you need to get? All the other ones are about works. Do this, you can get that. Jesus said, God says, I sent my Son to die for you. You don't have to do anything except believe in that. And when you believe in that with all of your heart, and you give that, and you repent of the things that are happening in your life, that's where it becomes transforming in your heart. And it's not about change your behaviors, because your motivation will be completely different. And so this morning, I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to be very strange for you to do. Please don't be immature and please don't rebel. But I want every man, I don't care if you're 5 or 95, I want you to come up to the front. Every man in here, I want you to come up to the front. Get tight, guys. Get tight, man. This is a community of men here at Reveal Church that believes in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to do something this morning. I put two verses on the screen. It says this, 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. See, that the problem is we stop there. That's where we stop, because that part's easy. So we pray that prayer and we go out in our life and we continue to do things the way we do. But what happens if this morning, we went to the next level and we confess our sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be what? Healed. Man, we can't stop at 1 John 1:9. We have to take 1 John 1:9 and go to James 5:16. Because honestly, true repentance holds nothing back. True repentance holds nothing back and offers no more excuses in your life. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to put your hand on the shoulder of a brother next to you and introduce yourself. And keep your hand on that shoulder when you're done. And here's the thing, guys. The two people or three people that you just met are the only two or three people that you know here at Reveal. For some of you. So guess who you may pray with in your life? Maybe if you're struggling in your life, you go to that Joe, Bob, or Dave, or whoever maybe you just met. You know two or three people now, don't you? There's no more excuses. And so as our hands are on our brother's shoulders, I want to pray with you. And I want you to leave everything here this morning. Everything here this morning. And when you walk out, I want your life to feel transformed. And this isn't a fix-all, but this is a beginning. Amen? And for the rest of us here, I want you to stand. And as I pray, I just want you to reach out to these men. These men have a huge job. And so let's be men of God together and move forward with passion and integrity and put on those four expressions of men should have, that king, warrior, friend, and lover face as we pray. God, thank you for these men. God, I feel your spirit moving here this morning, and I know this may not be for everybody, but there's men in here that you have given the power and the strength and the courage and the initiative to want to take a different approach in life, God. And repentance this morning is about leaving it all out here on the floor. And it's not a 360 turn, God. We understand that repentance is a 180 where we begin to turn away from what we want to get away from. And we pray that this morning for these men. I pray for these men here that they will now have one or two people that they can go to, that they can pray with. I pray, God, that they will look to change maybe things in their life where they become more of a disciple and more wanting to get involved with other men who open up God's word and say, this is our motivation right here. And may your power and your strength and your might, God, heal these men today so that they may be different walking out of here than when they came in. And with all eyes closed and head bowed, I give this to all of you. To don't ever quit being a father. If God should give you an opportunity or has given you an opportunity, don't ever quit being a father. Because one of the greatest lies the enemy has told our culture is, well, when they're 18 or when they're adults or when they're on their own. No, that's a lie. They need you more than ever. Because where are they going to go to college or who are they going to date or who are they going to marry or who are they going to choose for a career or what are they going to do with their finances? So many massive decisions are made and they need their parents and they need their fathers. So never stop being a father, because when your kids are little, they need you differently than when they are in their teens and when they're all grown up. They need you entirely different, but they need their father. So don't stop being a father. Perseverance is a big theme in the Bible, and even if it's a hard season, man, continue to be a father. Even if you are having difficulties, continue to be a father. Continue to love and continue to pursue and continue to pray and continue to invest, because I know through experience everything that I have gone through with my family is worth it. And so God, may these men, if they are fathers, have perseverance and strength and courage. May marriages be different as we move forward, God. And may reveal men start a revolution here in this building going forward. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.